This morning I would like you to turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 8 and it's verse 26. We're going to talk about a black man. If we were following along in a series, we have dealt with the brown man and we have dealt with the black man and we have dealt with the white man, because that's the way God orders things. And when you stick to the Bible, you never have any problems when it comes to race and the various things that go on in our present culture. But now let's read about it, for what God says is more important than anything I can say. The book of the Acts, chapter 8, verse 26. And an angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise and go. Arise, it's physical. Get up! Go, spiritual. Get going in God's way, God's line. And if you study this word, you'll find it used again and again, all through the Old Testament and New Testament. Especially to Abraham or Jonah and so on. Used in these three chapters in a specific way. Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. Oh, what memories in these places. Which is better is the known kingdom. And behold, I see the head of Ethiopia. And eunuch of great authority under Candace, king of Ethiopia, which had all her treasures. And it comes to Jerusalem to worship. Was returning and sitting in a chariot, read Isaiah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, join thyself in this chariot. Which God he did, because if he hadn't done what he did, he might have arrived in chapter 65 or chapter 66. It's been like Bob Lundy, he's been going on into the prophetical aspect. But there was something different here. He ran, and he got there right at God's time, with God's purpose. And he heard indeed Isaiah the prophet, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? Except one giant beside me. He was one of the verses that he had. And the every enemy I have experienced in the land of Israel, it was a ruin in the wilderness that he was saved to the land of Israel. My wife is born in Africa, and he's white. She was born there, lived there, dwelt there, and you must know of the culture there than here. And what a shock it was after years and years and years of living in the Punjab, and went back to the culture shock on this part of the world. Imagine being in India, like our brother over here, or our mother. Imagine living in India and then coming to this country. Well, it takes a little getting used to it. That's all I got. I'm glad to be back home, glad to be back here, but it takes a lot. And that's why when you read this, how should I get the next week? I need your help. And I found it was only. So he asked, what is the issue to come up to him? And I could see him just here on the knee, right? And he was up there. The place of the scripture which he read was this. Get this on, read it. Don't fail. Because if you miss this, you'll miss a lot. We've already read it. Wonder how many people were here this morning at the break in the bed. Quite a number, isn't that right? All right, we've already read this. Okay, you follow. The place of the scripture which you read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so open he not his mouth. Anybody notice the difference? What is it? What's the difference? Come on. Exactly. Now, brother, you're one of the leaders. What does it mean? Well, if you get this, you're reading the Bible the right way. Because people read the Bible, but they don't stick to the Bible. And immediately they take their text, or they stand up and preach for 15 minutes, and they don't even open the Bible. And what God says, I'm going to say, no matter how my brain works, how wonderful. That's the value. Stick to the Bible. The Bible is its own interpreter. And it must be handled in the right way. And that's why it's so important to this. So that's verse 32, and then it's humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? You read that. His life is taken from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip, I pray thee. Who speaketh the prophet this of himself or some other man? I love this. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Yeshua, Jesus. Got four letters. And if you know the word Jesus, you know what it means, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why you got four gospels. And the word Jesus has got four letters. And each letter is a literal interpretation of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's why he preached Jesus. But if I had been speaking to a Jew, it might have been a different thing entirely. Why? Because if you read in this chapter, when Philip went down into Samaria, he didn't preach Jesus, he preached the Messiah. And then, if you go and you get a cosmopolitan group, then it says he preached the kingdom of God. And you get that in verse 5, you get that in verse 12. And then in verse 25, of all things, they preach the word. Well, when you get down here, preach Jesus. Wouldn't it be marvelous if the brethren got a hold of that? And our churches understood this. I read a bulletin this morning, and I was amazed. One fellow, he was taking up Hosea. Another fellow was taking up Matthew. And I thought, well, they have a well-rounded out group, putting every man to work, those who are able. And that's God's way, because there's something God has for you and God has for me. And so they preached to him Yeshua, Jesus. And what does it mean? In English, Yeshua, sorry, Savior. But Jesus exactly suits up sinners or saints, whatever you want. He's our all sufficiency. But how marvelous to see it. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, here, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And, oh, boys, if you read in some of your Bibles, this will be left out. We have time to go into that. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus, the Messiah, is the Son of God. Like Dr. Ironside used to walk back and forth with us to Fitzhugh. And when we'd go to the morning meeting sometimes, and we'd walk along in fellowship, he would always emphasize on us, what is the teaching of the New Testament? What is the teaching of the four Gospels? And if we answered it right, full marks. If we even made a little deviation, no marks. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, here's the answer. What is the teaching of the Gospel? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How marvelous to know that. Yeshua, human. Christ, divine official. The Son of God, embodied in deity. So it's just, it's hard to even begin to understand in full. It just means prophet, priest, and king. But you answer, what is it? What is the teaching of the four gospels? This is it. Maybe that's why they've had such a problem keeping this in the New Testament. But as we know, it's in many versions. But he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And don't worry, there's not much water around there, and it wasn't just a little bit of water like this. Thank you. Wasn't a bit of water like that. There was enough water, and he was baptized. And look what it says. When they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught him away. That's the only time this word repeal is taken. And it means to be suddenly raptured or suddenly taken out. Just a little insight. But he was here one minute, gone the next. This is God's doing, not mine. And so the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that Philip saw him no more. And he went on his way, what, dumb as could be? Or silent? No, no, he went on his way like it's so typical of an African person. Got a smile on his face. And when you walk on the street, and say, Jumbo! Why, imagine walking along the streets in Canada, around it. You wonder what's wrong with some of these people. They've got ice water in their veins. How do they ever get a hello and a warm outreach? No different when I came to Texas. And my first impression, they always last the longest. And someone would meet you, hi, hello. Hey, off, the early greeting, friend. And that's one of the mottos of the state. We should carry it out. A very friendly people. They are called Texans. And so here is one of those men, not a gloomy Gus, but a happy, radiant man, so filled with God that the smile was on his face, the song was in his heart, the spring was in his steps. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. And how does it all end? Philip was found in his office preaching, and he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And he retired there. God blessed him with 4 girls, he and his wife. And of all things, they became minister prophetesses in those days. That day is gone, but he must have been a tremendous blessing in that part of the world. And so we have this marvelous story of how the gospel came to Ephesus. And you see, I've been trying to keep in with what they asked me to in relation to this circular here. The theme of the conference is spiritual growth and the assembly. And in cooperation and in fellowship with the assembly, how should I go? How should I carry on? And so we saw the historical side. We were to continue as a church in 4 things, which are the basics of any church in this whole country, according to the mind and will of God. And those 4 things are basic, and it's historical. It was an actuality. How far are we parted today? Then we were considering the personal aspect. And that has to do with my own life, what God says to me. Now don't shut your mouth. Don't. Go and stand and speak what I've given you. Now we come to this. It's the evangelical. And this afternoon I want to deal with the spiritual. And if we're here for a while, I'd go on maybe to the prophetical. But for this conference, I'm in this particular theme that God put upon my heart through you. And last year, I took as my theme the minor prophets. And what a refreshing and a blessing all through the year, because each year I take a certain book and I stick with it for my private study. And after a year or so, then I get begin to get into it. And I may speak on it here or there, but I'll write on it first. And then seek to present it. For this year, I've taken Jacob's dozen. There's a boy named Jacob here. Well, Jacob had a dozen, and it was 12, and there's a reason for that. And so you have the 12 sons. And if the Lord spares me for 1993, I'm going to take the 12 sons, because I've been following it for 2 years. But I must start where God starts. How did it all begin? The Jews, you say. Then, what about these men and what was their message? And then I come to the New Testament and God is 12. And when I get home to heaven, the whole setup of heaven is based on 12. That's why we were reading about the 24, the prophets, and the apostles, and the 12 tribes and so on. Well, okay, you didn't say that. But here you have the gospel going to Africa. Here you have the gospel going to a black man. And I think it's a marvelous place to visit. How many of you saw Out of Africa? How many of you saw the white lion? How many of you follow the news with Mandela and the new age that's dawning in Africa, where we have lived and where we have been for these many, many years? Well, it's a thrilling part of the world, and we've been from one end of it to the other. And if I was spared, I wouldn't mind taking another trip down through. But I know the country a little bit. It's the second largest of the continents, and it stretches for 5,000 miles. And we've done it from Cape to Cairo. And you can imagine the thrill of Grace and I, or our daughters, when we're going along the desert, and suddenly the desert disappears, and you go down a tunnel, like you have a few tunnels here, and you go through the tunnel, and you leave Asia, and you cross through the tunnel, and you come up, and you're in Africa. That's all happened in the last couple of years. And how wonderful, everything is getting ready. And so it is now with Istanbul, and the bridge has been put over the river, and now we have, or over the beach, and now we have Europe and Asia together, and we've got Africa and Asia together. And they've all been able to come together now by bridge and by tunnel. And soon, England will be linked with Europe. And we're living in days when things are happening. All this has varied on what's coming. But the thrill that comes to the child of God is not on what's happening all around here. That's up and down one day, and God alone knows what'll happen next week. But what thrills the soul is everything is moving according to God's schedule. Everything is right on time. And we've known what it is. I would like to have driven all that way, but you come to a place like Zambia, and it's a dead end, and you come to Zaire, that great section of Congo, and it's dead end because there's no roads up here. But Mr. Rhodes, he had the vision, and then he left England, and he went to Cape Town. He had the vision. He was going to join the whole of Africa. And he got as far as Rhodesia, and you can go and see his grave. But you can drive for over 2,500 miles, and then it's a roadblock, and you got to get on a boat and get into it. But it's not opened up yet. But here's a country, 5,000 miles from Cape to Cairo, and then Lagos, that steamy place in the west of Africa, 4,700 miles over to Nairobi, which is the capital of the third world, and a fascinating place, and where we have a great work there in Emmaus and the assemblies. And when you think of Africa with its 300 million people, why, it's absolutely amazing. 44 countries, 800 languages, 3,000 dialects. And that's why it's so interesting now, living in a little place like Victoria, British Columbia, a lovely little place, but we live on an island. And the island is 300 miles long, and it's 50 miles wide. We only got about 276,000 people, but every place we go, we have to get on the ferry. So every hour on the hour, the cars come shooting down the highway, they go right onto the ferry, and of course they hold hundreds of cars and people, and that's only one of 86. And so, their life goes on, even though we live on a little island. It's not like the crowd that you have in your highways here. But then we cross to the mainland, and we arrive in Vancouver, just an hour and a half, not any more than 2 hours, and you have your car, you drive off, and then you can start, and it's 4,500 miles to get to Newfoundland. That's a big country. And some in Russia know something about those things, traveling over that vast country. But this is the size of this place. And that's why all of this has its setting. And here was a man who is the fulfillment of prophecy. Because the word of God says that Ethiopia shall reach out her hand to the Lord. And she did. And here was a select man, a chosen man. And I would point out, he was a stranger. He was a seeker. He was a religious man. He was an eminent man. And where did he hear this story? Where on earth did he come in contact with the gospel? Where did you come in contact with the gospel? It makes an interesting story because you're an individual. And when we get to heaven, oh, the story. But I think here on the earth it's so interesting. How was my wife saved? Out on the African plain, around the campfire, as a little girl of 6. How was I saved? At a boys' camp in northern Ontario, alongside a beautiful lake, I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come, come, and let's see." How did I get to Dallas? That was a miracle. What did I do after I finished up my studies here in Dallas? And for them, it was to go on to SMU and finish up and have my doctorate degree and become one like some of my comrades, Louis, and others who are in Christian work in this part of the world. But I had my sight set on another land. I thought, if God has blessed me and so endowed me and so enabled me. I had to come to Texas to get back my health first because of TB in the family. And I used to go and sit in a little park over on Gaston and let the sun come against me and then study my Greek and try to get into things because I'd been out of circulation for a long time. And I got my health back in Texas and I enjoyed the climate. But the best of all, I enjoyed the fellowship of God's people, and I found a group of Christians in a city like this who took me to their heart. And this is the evidence. And when you think of the old pioneers, and you think of some of the old standby, and here after all these years, I'm back. And the same purpose that God put in my heart way back then is the same thing that springs up in my heart today. If I only had one life, that's all I got. I haven't got a thousand. I just got one life. It would be for God. And all the learning that you could get in Dallas or 10,000 or all that you could accumulate in this world is not worthy to be compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And if he's really God, as the millionaire man Fifi said, if he's really God, then no sacrifice that you can make is worthy either. And David, Livingston says, I determine under God, or I'll put no value on anything save in relation to the kingdom of God. And he blazed the trail for Africa. My desire way back there, same as not. I'd like to go and tell the world that Jesus is, that he died for me a poor sinner, that he lives in heaven to keep me, and one day he's coming back, and he's going to put this wacky world in the right way. He's going to fulfill all that he has promised, and it's going to be absolutely true. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here you have the story of an eminent, prominent, religious man. How he heard, I don't know, but he did a marvelous thing. He had the money. He had the wherewithal. He had service. And he came. And it wasn't easy. Some will argue over that, I'll argue. But one thing I know, he came. And when he got there, he didn't get it. And he even left the city, and he's on his way back home. But there's one thing he did. It was marvelous. He bought a Bible. Because the Septuagint version, which we know, the translation of the Hebrew into Greek, in preparation for the great conflict of Alexander the Great, way before Christ came, he bought a copy of this book called the Septuagint version, and he was absorbed with it. He took it, and he's reading, and he's going through it, and he's on his way, and he didn't have what he came for, but God had him in mind, and God had a man named Philip. And God used this man. He said, look, you've been here going around evangelizing. So he's a real evangelist. One of the Lord's gifts to the church. And he said, I want you to go and leave what you're doing here and go down to Gaza. What a place to go. Nothing but desert. It's an awful stretch of country. And lots of trouble there now. But anyways, he went at the leading of the Lord. Because this man teaches us something. If you're ever going to be used of God, you've got to learn a few things. You must obey. How do you listen or hear God? Something out there? Something? No. God speaks in various ways. But when it comes to 1992, if you want to hear what God says, read your Bible. Get to your Bible. Have your heart clean and your life clean and upright to God. And as you read the Bible, God speaks to you. And then you must be ready, ready to go, ready to stay, ready as will to do. And it's far more important to obey than stick your hand in your pocket and give money or run around in a lot of circles. And that's why someone asked me yesterday what a big wheel was. He said he was a big wheel here in Texas. Oh, I said, I know what a big wheel is. Because it's one of the Beatitudes. Blessed is he who goes around in circles, or he'll become a big wheel. And we got all kinds. That's all they do, go around in circles. And here, this man was obedient to the Lord. He was on the lookout. He was spirit-led. He was Bible-taught. And he knew how to deal with people. Very courteous. You know what you're reading? Am I able to be a help? He didn't bang in and say, "Are you saved?" Nothing like that. But God has his individuals and he gives wisdom, and we're to be as harmless as dove and as wise as serpent. Good thing. No, then this is the way this man lived. And so you have the seeker on one hand, and you have the servant of God on the other hand, and you have the Bible in between. And then, lest you miss your way, God sends his Spirit. So you see, up in heaven, the Lord Jesus lives. Here in the earth, he lives in me by his Spirit. But he's given me my Bible as a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, get the picture. This man is reading the Bible. And if I'm on a plane or train, I'm reading something, usually. And it is quite a sight if you pull out this, but I don't do it that way. I always go and have my little Bible in my pocket, because I've got the whole Bible in little books, so that I can pull out this one and whatever I'm studying or what I'm doing. So, as he got down there and looked around at the barrenness, the abandonment of it, he's listening and he's waiting because he's not too sure. And God spoke to him. And God can speak to you in the night. He can speak to you in various ways. He can speak to you through your wife. He can speak to you through a son. He can speak to you through an illness. He can speak to you through accident. God speaks in all different types. But the way he speaks is so gracious, because his desire is to lead you to repentance if you're not saved. And if you're a believer, God's desire is to lead you to the heights and get up above this land called Texas, and get into the presence of God and discover a whole new world is before you. Because there's nothing in all the world like fellowship with God and fellowship over his word. And then fellowship with his people and discovering why God has a plan for my life. God has something for my life to do. And it's discovering it and then fitting into it. And God never put a square peg in a round hole. And God doesn't put you in an assembly where you're a bugbear or you're a weirdo. God puts you into the assembly to fit, to function, to be fruitful. And what's one of the most difficult? In the whole of the assembly of God's people, a faithful man who can function. Only God can make such men. Only God can make such women. And that's why if we walk with God and go on with God, he'll teach us the way. And you'll discover that all the great ones of Dallas and all the big ones, well, God uses different ones, but he can use you. And I came to Dallas when men like Dr. Ironside and Jack Mitchell and Dr. Armitage, who married us, and some of these, and men of God, they're all gone. We sang a hymn, "Oh, lead me to the man." And I can hear him yet, Alfred Nace. And we sang one of his hymns this morning. "Oh, lead me to the man. And God, the one who died for me." And you see, here's this man, and of all things, he did, and he ran. And just at that time, he was reading one of the most controversial chapters when it comes to Jews, because I've sat among them over 3,000, and it was absolutely amazing, because nobody knew or understood. And look, the place of the scripture which you read, he was led as a sheep, and then a lamb. See, the sheep's the female. That's the submissive attitude of Christ. The lamb is the male. That's the voluntary act of Christ. That's why. But when you come here, it's a sheep. And like a lamb. And God's people are likened to sheep. And the whole teaching of the Old Testament is the lamb. Why? Because he was to come. And that's why he's personified. The first time you ever have the word love in the Bible is about a father and a son. Not a man and a woman. And you have the story of Mount Moriah, and the word Mount Moriah means to teach, and God wants to teach you what the cross means. And so the Lamb of God is seen, identified. And then one day we move all the way through and we see him prophesied. Then one day he came into this world and we see him personified. Now he's glorified. One day he's coming back to reign as the Lion and the Lamb. And it's absolutely marvelous, the teaching of the Word of God. But here it is, he was led as a sheep. Why? In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God is always pointing to the one who is marked out by God who's coming. In the New Testament, it's switched. Why? Because we go from the old to the new to learn of him. He's come. Now we see all the plan and purposes of God fully realized in Jesus Christ. And how is he seen? Why, he's seen as the Lamb marked out for God's provision. And we study him, and it's all in Jesus. So one is pointing forward, the other is pointing back. And that's why as a prophet he came out from God to tell us the way to God. As a priest he's gone into God to tell us how we, and enable us how to live for God. And then as a king, he puts prophet and priest together, and as God over all blesses together. And that's why it's summing up the whole. And that was what he read. And he says, well, who is this? And he got up and he preached unto him a simple little story. Jesus is the Lamb, Jesus is the Lion. In the birth world, Jesus is the Lamb, and Jesus is the Eagle. And so, I say to you, you will know it. Have you ever trusted the one who died on the cross? And he's now gone back to glory. This is the open. Got it! And not only did he believe in Jesus Christ as his Savior and his Lord, the Son of God, but he was going to a far country. He was baptized. And he's left us two ordinances. One is our death, baptism. The other is his death. That's why we have the Lord's death. And this man grasped it. He accepted it. What happened? Why, just like it happened, his soul sprang to a deep, so to speak. His face burst out of his mouth. I got it! And on the way he went, I've got the peace that passes all understanding, of the joy unspeakable. It's mine. And he went back. And if you go to Ethiopia, have you been there? What a country. And there's hundreds and hundreds of believers. It worked then, it works now, and I am one. Do you know him? Are you like him? The only one that can make life what it ought to be. Here in the state of Texas. Don't you love him? Don't you want to worship him? Well, here's the essence of the gospel. Whether you're rich or poor, red or yellow, black or white, God loves you. Jesus died for you. Why did you do what this man did? Receive him and go on your way rejoicing. So we pray. And now, gracious God our Father, in the words of our lips, the meditation of our heart, be acceptable in thy sight, and bless thy word to thy people and to any who may not know thee. Grant journeying mercies, thine overruling hand, as we commend us to thee in the word of thy grace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. God bless you. It's 11:45 by your clock.